and I'll read the last of the Do We Know elegies, or my elegies, or our elegies. Someday, crawling from the wreckage of fell insights, may I ululate alongside nodding angels. May not one of the clearly struck keys of the heart fail to vibrate through a slack, a dubious, or broken string. May further radiance pour from my already streaming face, let invisible tears bloom. How close you will be to me then, nights of anguish, inconsolable sisters. And why did I not bow the knee more steeply and rend myself more loosely in your already loosened hair? Oh, we pain wastrels! How we stare down our own sad duration in hopes of a clear finish. But we're talking sombre foliage, one season alone of our interior year, and not merely time-wise, but as place and as settlement, dwelling or actual soil. How estranging, alas, are the streets of Pain's city, where in the pseudo-silence of continuous white noise, figures cast out of absence swagger around, a begilded kerfuffle, an exploding memorial. How completely an angel would trash both the market for solace and the quick-fix church, as clean and disenchanted as a post office on Sunday. Only the fair makes the city's edge undulate. Carousel liberation, circus of conviction, the shooting range of happiness, illusory tin figures flapping under a hail of real bullets, while one-armed bandits roll their eyes, and for adults only, the genitals of money are available for questions in dark booths or made to fuck on stage. Beyond the perimeter hoardings, where a snuff movie confers immortality, but only for those who buy the popcorn, everything is suddenly real. There are children and lovers in shadow. Sag grass and dog shit, some young guy wanders off beyond the shadows. Perhaps he's fallen in love with a young lament. So he follows her into the meadows. She looks fantastic, despite being dead, with only a slight limp and funny eyes. When she turns and says, "We live over there," it's a long walk. He's tempted, but turns and waves goodbye. What's the point? She's a lament. Only the recently dead care to follow, swaying slightly in her footsteps. She waits for girls and befriends them, shows them gently her clothes, pearls of sadness and the fine-spun silks of patience. But there, where they live in the valley, one of the older laments tells the youth when he questions her. "Long ago," she says, "we were once a great tribe," we laments. "Our forefathers worked the mines along that range of mountains, and even today you can come across the odd buffed-up nugget of primal sorrow, or a chunk of petrified fury, quarried from the slag of a volcano. Yes, that was us. We were rolling in it." And lightly she leads him through the vast landscape of laments, shows him the broken columns and the ruined towers from which long ago the lords of lament so wisely ruled their land. Shows him the tall trees of tears and the flowers of the fields of flowering sadness and the herds of sorrow grazing. And sometimes, startled, a bird will soar up through their upward gaze, writing the script of its cry into distance. Then in the twilight she shows him the graves of the Eldrin and Sibyls who had given their warning to the race of laments. But now it is night and the moonlight guardian stone takes shape. Twin of the Egyptian Sphinx, lofty and taciturn chamber face, and they are mind-struck by the regal cerebellum that has lifted the human to the astral scale forever. Still reeling from premature death, his eyes can't hack it, and her gaze scares an owl behind the pshent. Then the bird brushes in a slow downward curve the ripe edge of the jowl, inscribing faintly on the hearing of the newly dead, as on a book's opening pages, the indescribable outline. Higher, the stars, the new stars of the land of pain. Slowly the lament chants their names. Look, there's the writer, and the gander, and the larger constellation called Fruit Hydrant. Then further away, the Polish ones, Vega, Teeth, the Burning Book, Puppet, and the Window of Opportunity. But to the south, pure as the lines on a saint's hand, the livid sparkling M, which stands for insubstantiality. Even the dead have to be up and doing, and in silence the ancient lament leads him on to the gleaming moonlit gorge, where shimmers the wellspring of joy. In reverent tones she names it, saying, by human standards it's a mobile river. They stand at the foot of the mountains, and there she embraces him, weeping. Alone he must climb to the mountains of primal grief, and not once will his step be heard along the soundless path. And yet, if the endlessly dead were to wake in us a symbol, perhaps they would point to the catkins hanging from hazel, or the rain as it pours onto the soil in early spring. And we who think of happiness in terms of ascending would feel the emotion that almost overwhelms when happiness falls.